Before Michael and I got married, we met with our minister for the basic pre-wedding counseling session. And I have always remembered what he told us. He said there are three things that married couples fight about most often. Do you know what they are? Money. Sex. Oh, you're good. Do you know what the third one is? What? Okay. Religion. That's not what he said. Driving. I will let you decide if those three are true or not for your relationship. And it makes me wonder, so I wonder what it would be for churches. What would it be for churches? Money. What else? For some, but let's hope it's never. I would argue coffee, music, anything else? Announcements. Yes, see? Not us, of course. All those other churches, they fight about those things. You see, the original title of this sermon was Money Talk, on giving, generosity, and making magic. But I changed the title because I got scared. I was worried that some of you would think, oh no, she's talking about money, and not come. And money is one of those culturally taboo topics in our society. It's one of those things we fight about. Unless you're Donald Trump, but then he's got a whole bunch of other issues. Oh, money, that wicked thing. Help me out a little bit here. The best things in life are
free.
Money is the root
of all evil.
You can't take it
with you.
It is better to give
than to receive.
Oh, look at you. Know all your money proverbs. You're such a smart bunch. I'm not sure my six-year-old truly believes that last one, though. Who can blame him? I love getting presents, too. And I've also known the blessing and joy and magic of giving, but that comes with a lot of practice and some self-reflection. Money talk makes us uncomfortable. And yet it is a critical part of our day-to-day existence. And for some reason, talking about money in church seems even more uncouth. Why is that? When it is, too, a critical part of our day-to-day existence. I find it ironic here in our community that we are really good at talking about sex. I mean, OWL starts today for our junior high youth, right? We pride ourselves. We got the sex talk handled. The money talk, maybe not so much. Many of us weren't really taught the meaning of money. Not just the dollars and cents, but the meaning of money. Perhaps we overheard our parents fight about money. Or we saw money used as a weapon or a means of power. Perhaps our basic needs were met with material things appearing, and we never really had to think that much about where they came from. These experiences in our lives with money can shape us, and they can haunt us, and even harm us until we make the space to re-examine our relationship with money. And that's what I want to invite us to do beginning today. It's not something we'll solve or get through or make magically disappear today, but I want to invite us to imagine how we might talk about money and giving and generosity in connection with the church more openly and freely without the tension and fear and judgment we so often carry with us. That's not a tall order, is it? In just 6 short weeks, we will officially launch our annual giving drive, our version, our version of the public radio pledge drive. And we'll be talking about money a little bit more often, kind of like they do on the radio. And I'm hoping that when we can do so with a greater sense of openness and ease and, dare I say, fun. As you've heard, our campaign theme this year is Where the Magic Happens, which feels so perfect for where we are right now. I think of that theme, and it makes me smile when I think about all the magic this fellowship has inspired in me, in you, and in the world, our work in the world. And I remember that Where the Magic Happens is a big, beautiful circle that is set apart from the small area of our life called the comfort zone. And all of this is possible when we consider that the path, that generosity is a path that is continuously unfolding in front of us, and it looks different for all of us. Generosity can certainly take the form of time, talent, intelligence, caring, or simply presence, in addition to money. And let me reassure you that even as we talk about money, your gifts of time and talent are just as vital to the magic and success of this fellowship as your money. We could not make our Sunday morning worship services happen without that time and talent. And they are deeply, deeply appreciated. And still, we just don't get quite as hung up on those invitations to volunteer as we do about talking when we're talking about money. I think our hang-ups around money and church in particular have to do with our commitment as Unitarian Universalists to the principles of equity and fairness and justice. We daily see the divisions and struggle caused by inequity, inequality, and injustice, especially financially. And we rightly fear that those divisions, that classism, and this idea of preferential treatment could creep into the life of this community where we have come to feel connected regardless of who we are, what we have, and where we come from. But I invite you to think about the invitation to walk the generosity path is to increasingly approach money from a place of inner freedom and abundance. In his book, The Generosity Path, Mark Everett explores the gifts and challenges and benefits of generosity. And he notes that deeply spiritual component to generosity, a sense of it coming out of some place deeply personal and connected with that which is larger than ourselves. He shares his own story about joining the stewardship team of his church, All Souls UU Church in Washington, D.C., and how that work allowed him to explore the underlying currents that connect charitable giving with a particular set of values and beliefs, and connect him with developing a spiritual practice. It was in that work that he found a place to center his practice of generosity. And it is a practice. And we have a wonderful stewardship team here too that is doing that work. If you are on our stewardship team, would you wave your hand in the air? I want people to see your beautiful faces. Almost all of you are here in this service. Yeah. These people feel so passionate about our connections and the magic of this fellowship that they have committed to being part of its stewardship of its resources. I believe that we all want to be generous. We wouldn't be here in this community if we didn't want to give back to others in some way. The word generous means freely giving more than what is necessary or expected. Freely giving more than what is necessary or expected. Just saying those words kind of lifts me up and makes me smile. It's that freedom. It's not about the amount, but the gift itself. A gift that is significant and meaningful to you, based on your circumstances and abilities. A gift that should change your life in some way. And that's an exciting proposition to me, because I believe as Unitarian Universalists, we are in the position, in the business of changing lives. On some level, we come here to create wholeness, healing, and transformation in our own lives, in the lives of this community, and in the world. And when we give, we are saying yes to that vision and that mission and possibility. Yes to being co-creators in that transformation. And giving can be a very transformative spiritual practice, helping us all be in touch with those things in life that matter most. The practice of generosity has roots in many, many religious traditions. The Jewish tradition, with its deep connection to the ancestors who have come before us, remind us that we find ourselves on this earth living in houses which we did not build, drinking from wells which we did not dig, and eating from trees which we did not plant. Giving to this fellowship is also about nurturing that legacy of our faith and this home for future generations, that they may drink from our wells and fill the wells of others, that they may enjoy the fruits of our labor and plant trees for the future, that they may receive the blessings of this space and all who have built this beloved community, and transform those blessings into actions of justice and compassion in the world. That is the legacy that we hope for. American-born Tibetan monk Lama Surya Das shares the wisdom of giving from the Buddha. Giving brings happiness at every stage of its expression. We experience joy in forming the intention to be generous. We experience joy in the actual act of giving something. And we experience joy in remembering that we have given. How often do we hear that expression about the joy of giving? It is better to give than to receive. Think back to a time when you gave a significant gift. I push you to think about a monetary gift because that's what we're focused on today, but it could be anything. It just has to be big. What did it feel like to conceive of the idea, the gift, or the amount? Was it joyful? And what did it feel like to actually give the gift? And when you look back on it now, do you still experience that joy? I hope you do. But if not, ask yourself why. What was missing for you? Gratitude? Recognition? Sacredness? How might we make space to manifest those missing pieces of our lives today, such that when we give, we can count on the joy being present? A long time ago, Michael and I were trekking in Cambodia with some friends. And we were in this small town and likely looking for a place just to have lunch. And the central square suddenly began to fill up with people, and they were lining the sidewalks, lining the square. And their arms were filled with flowers and pouches of food and cash. And it caught our attention, so we watched with some curiosity. And then suddenly, a parade of Buddhist monks appeared, flowing into the square in their bright, beautiful saffron robes. And they proceeded to walk around the courtyard, receiving the gifts, the alms, of that community. And these monks who took a vow of poverty were blessed by the gifts of this small village. Now, my friends and Michael got very excited about this because it was a beautiful ceremony, a ritual of giving where the people received the blessing as much as the monks did. It was very mutual in its exchange. And so the next thing my friends and Michael, they're digging through their pockets and their bags, trying to dig up all the spare change and cash and trinkets and tokens that they had so that they could join the line and be part of this ritual. I, however, hesitated for a moment. I wasn't quite so gung-ho at first because I had been the recorder of our finances for this trip and we were on a very tight budget. I was not sure we could give. But my husband gaped at me with that look of incredulity. That look the spouses give each other. And then he just turned and joined our friends in the line, giving their gifts and smiling and bowing to the monks. And the joy and celebration of that moment was so palpable. I couldn't be left out. And so I found myself scrounging for spare change and cash and gifts to give the monks and joining them in the line. And it was an indescribable feeling to be part of this community ritual, of this sacred act of giving, even though this wasn't even my faith tradition. When I think back on that moment, I realize the power of the connection and the joy coming out of this intentionally sacred act of giving. And in the end, our budget did not suffer. And I began to find a whole different connection to my own spiritual capacity for generosity, one that I have been working on and cultivating ever since, more than I ever knew was possible. It also helped me begin to shift my relationship with money as I started to examine and even release some of the fear and shame and guilt I carried around with me connected to money. And it continues to be a lifelong practice. And I hope that's what I've begun with this sermon today, to open up a conversation that allows us to release some of our collective fear and guilt or shame about money, and instead to focus on the freedom, the joy, and the magic of giving. I want to tap into giving as a sacred act, especially here, a sacred act deeply connected to our spiritual lives and our values as a faith community. And that means all gifts are valued and celebrated. The $20,000 gifts alongside the $200 gifts, the gifts of service on committees and the board and in the classroom, the gifts of presence here on Sunday morning and in one another's lives. All are needed and all are welcome and all are part of making the magic happen. Money will never stop shaping our lives. But we have the power to shape our relationship to it. So much of our financial life and life in general is pushed by this idea of a standard of living. And that standard of living grows and grows and increases and increases. And so my question to you is this. In this sacred space, in this beloved community, what is our standard of being? How does this place, how might this place increase our standard of being? May it be so. Amen. I invite us all to come together in a time of shared silence.